You know, the story never changes. Doesn't matter if it's on TV, in the movies, or live and in person, the story doesn't change, no matter how old or how young you get. Nobody, at least nobody I've ever met, wants to be told they have to stay back on guard duty. Everybody wants to be part of the glorious charge. See a couple of nods. Nobody wants to stay back on guard duty. Everybody wants to be part of that glorious charge. In the movies or in the books, Lord of the Rings, for those who read that, you know, the Battle of Helm's Deep, when they're all the guys and the warriors were about to go out, the women and children and some of the younger guys were told to go further back into the cave, and not all of them wanted to go back, right? They wanted to stay out and fight. Or the current TV show Outlander, when Jamie Frazier, you know, when they hear the bear outside, and Jamie tells Claire and young Ian, "You guys stay inside, I'll go fight the bear." Young Ian didn't want to stay inside, but he was told he had to be back on guard duty. Just about every war movie, especially the older war movies that you see, where when the battle is raging on the front, and your troop, your platoon, it's time to go up and fight. You don't want to be the young cadet that the commanding officer turns to and says, "You, stay back and watch the food. Make sure nobody pillages that." Right? You want to go shoulder to soldier with your fellow warriors, and you want to be part of that glorious charge. How about the game Capture the Flag? You know it? Raise your hand if you know it, okay? Capture the Flag. If you don't, you don't have to raise your hand. It's a game that involves a really big field and two teams, and a line is drawn across this field. It's a no-crossing line, and the goal is to hide your flag on your side of the field, and then when somebody else go, your team has to somehow sneak across that line, go and find the flag, and you know, you run back without getting tagged. Of course, if you get tagged while you're on the other side, you have to go to jail. And in every game that I've played to Capture the Flag, somebody turns to somebody else and says, "You guard the jail, make sure nobody gets out." I have never heard somebody say, "Yes, I want to guard the jail." Every single person wants to be one of the ones that are, you know, the faster ones, the sneakier ones, the ones that go across that no-crossing line, and they find that flag, and they run back with the flag waving, right, getting all the glory. Nobody wants to be told they have to stay back on guard duty. They want to be part of that glorious charge. Somebody can say amen. I know there's at least three of you that want to be part of that glorious charge. We're in week two of our Advent series that we've titled, "It's What She Remembered." It's what she remembered. And last week, we started this series and we kicked off reminding ourselves that the story that we have in Luke 1 and 2 is the story that Mary remembered. It's the story that years later, upwards of 60 years later, Luke, the author of this gospel, sat down with Mary and said, "Tell me what you remember." And all these intimate details of the story that Mary remembered, she told to Luke. And we talked last week about how she pondered all these details, how she treasured up these details, and we talked about what those words meant. Now, if you weren't here last week, go back and listen to it online or ask somebody who was here. Ultimately, though, we're sticking with this idea that what we have here is the story that Mary told to Luke. And I'm convinced that when Mary thought back and she thought about the shepherds that we sang about this morning, the shepherds that we read about, we're going to read again. I'm convinced that when she thought about the shepherds, she didn't think about them for the reasons we most often think that she thought about them. She thought about them because she realized this group of men went from guard duty to the glorious charge. And I'm convinced that deep down inside, each one of us wants to do that same thing. We're going to talk about that, but let's pray first. Lord God, this morning I simply ask that you would give us eyes to see, that you would give us ears to hear, that you would give us hearts that are receptive to the story you want us to hear. May we do more, Lord, than just listen. May this affect us. May this change us. May it transform us. May it draw us into the story, and may it remind us of who you are. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now, you already heard the passage of Scripture read earlier. Abby read it during the song set, but I'm going to read it again. And you can either follow along in Luke chapter 2 in your own Bibles, or just listen as if Luke had just asked Mary, hey, tell me that part about the shepherds again. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger. Verse 13, suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. And all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. She treasured them up. She pondered them. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. The shepherds, and the way Mary remembered them. Not just what she remembered about them, but why she remembered them. And once again, this past week, I tried to put myself into Mary's shoes and thought, why would she remember shepherds? And some of the natural things that I think, well, at least a guy would remember, but I'll try and imagine what a woman would have remembered. Okay, they came to mind. Like this, okay? After you give birth, who's the first people you want to see? You know, probably a spouse, maybe family, some close friends, ideally a nurse or a doctor, right? Yeah, that's not what happened to Mary. No, she gives birth and probably still a little bit sweaty, pretty exhausted, and you get this knock on the door, right? Barn door, you know, cabin door, stable door, cave door, whatever it is. Joseph, being a good husband that he is, says, no, don't, Mary, I'll take care of this. Okay, well, hang on one second. Let me go see who's out there, right? And then take too much longer. He's a guy, okay? Hey, Mary, there's some fellows out here. We don't know them, but I invited them in. Maybe that's why Mary remembered the shepherds. She didn't know them, right? Verse 8 begins, that night the shepherds were staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Think through this with me. I love what the NIV that Abby read said. It says, that night, so, right, night of the birth, there were shepherds out in the fields, living out in the fields. Some of your translations say staying out in the fields. Living is actually more what the Greek means. See, these shepherds had a job that was not a 9-to-5 job where they got up in the morning, rolled over, and said, bye, hon, I'll see you after work, right? They'd go in, clock in, watch the flocks during the day, and then dinner time, clock out, and go home. This is not the type of job they had. They actually lived out in those fields. In the hills outside of Bethlehem, 2,000 years ago, they didn't have running water. They didn't have showers. And they weren't staying with sheep that were docile and clean like the ones you see in Mary Had a Little Lamb. These sheep were stinky, full of things that sheep, they were poopy. They were covered in this Galilean dirt, and they had to smell terrible, the sheep. And the men! The men were what? Living amongst them. I heard rumor that when women give birth, all of their senses are heightened. So when a group of shepherds that she doesn't know walks into the room, and Mary goes, maybe that's why she remembered them. Verse 8, shepherds were out staying in the fields nearby. The fields were outside of Bethlehem. Anytime I've pictured the shepherds, and we see this in our nativities that you have around the church and probably in your house, there's like two or three shepherds, right? I don't think that was accurate. Okay, if you do a little bit of study, most scholars think that these shepherds, and you've probably heard this before, these shepherds were watching the sheep that were used in the temple sacrifices. See, Bethlehem and Jerusalem were only about 5 miles apart. And the fields might have been right in between. So you're talking 2.5 miles to Bethlehem, 2.5 miles to Jerusalem, right? And these shepherds were watching the sheep that were used at the temple sacrifices. Now, I won't read it, but Numbers chapter 28, verses 1 to 10, outlines how many sheep would be sacrificed during a day. You know, and it's one sheep in the morning, one lamb in the morning, one lamb at night. And these were one-year-old lambs that had no blemishes, no spots, right? Nothing wrong with them. I am guessing that the flocks that the men out in the fields, if they were watching these sacrificial lambs, I'm guessing that they weren't just watching the perfect one-year-old spotless lambs, right? So quickly do the math in your head. If there's two sacrifices a day, one in the morning, one at night, it's what Numbers outlines, that's 730 lambs a year. Add in all of the extra feasts and festivals throughout. The number goes up exponentially. Add in the mama lambs, the baby lambs, the daddy lambs, the cousin lambs, the sister lambs, the brother lambs, all the lambs, and it's easy to think you could easily have had 20,000 sheep out there on the fields. Pretty easy. Now, how many shepherds would that take to watch? Two? Three? No. Sheep herding hasn't changed too much in the last 2,000 years. A good shepherd could maybe keep an eye on 800 to 1,000 sheep. That's a really good shepherd. So do the math. Okay, that's roughly 20 to 30 shepherds out there. Unless they're taking shifts at night, and you double that. So 20, 30, 40, 50 shepherds. Think about Mary. Just gave birth. There's a group of guys out there that she doesn't know that stinks. And there might be 30 of them, 40 of them. Maybe that's why Mary remembered the shepherds. Verse 8 again, I'll read it from the screen. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. And we jump to verse 15. It says, when the angel had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. 15, 20, 30 shepherds go to Bethlehem. Is this why Mary remembered the shepherds? Or was it for some other reasons? Maybe it was cultural. See, back then, and I think most of us has heard this, the view of shepherds was that they were kind of the lowly caste, the outcast. They were the downtrodden. I actually learned this past week in studying that some Jews viewed shepherds as dishonest, transient, unsavory characters. This group of guys would not have been allowed in the temple to be part of the temple worship, which is ironic because if they were watching the sacrificial sheep for the worship, they couldn't even take part in it. But because of who they were and what they did, they weren't allowed there. So could it have been that Mary, that's what she remembered. Oh my goodness, there's some unsavory characters. Joseph... hide the money back. Could it have been something else that was cultural? In verse 16, it says this. When they arrived, they hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby. Go ahead and leave that up here for a second. The way Luke tells this, which I believe is the way Mary told it to him, who did the shepherds find first? Look at the sentence. Go ahead and say it out loud. Mary. Okay, and then who was second? Joseph. And then who was third? The baby. In that culture, no woman's name would have ever come first in the sentence. Okay? So it's possible that, you know, the sentence, if it was culturally correct, it would have been, and the shepherds found Joseph and the baby, who was a boy, and they also saw the baby's mom. But that's not what we hear. We see they found Mary and Joseph and the baby. So maybe Mary thought, wow, there's all these things that are culturally different and they stink and there's a lot of them and I don't know them. And this might be why she remembered them all. And I don't know if that's why. In fact, I have a theory that that's not why. I think that when she thought back over the course of 60 years, when she pondered, when she reflected, when she treasured up, she thought back to the reason why, the ultimate reason why these shepherds should be in the story. Here's where it gets fun, okay? We're going to start in verse 8, and then we're going to move through this. Verse 8, again, you've heard me say it. That night, the shepherds were staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. What were they doing? Guarding. And some of you who are reading the NIV or the ESV or the King James Version, you're looking down saying, that's not what Mike says. Mike says they were keeping watch. That's the song that we just sang, that the shepherds were keeping watch. That's true, they were watching, but the Greek word is way more strong than that. It actually means to guard, and it means like a military style of guarding. It means like an uninterrupted, unbroken vigilance demonstrated by the shepherds in keeping their flocks together. You understand? This is not just a group of 20 or 30 guys sitting around a campfire, drinking coffee, playing cards, every once in a while looking up saying, are the sheep still there? No, they are vigilantly guarding. They're stationed at all the different places where these sheep could be. They're taking shifts at night so they're staying fresh. There was absolutely no way they were going to let any lamb get taken by a critter or by an enemy or a thief or something. They may not have been allowed to be in part of that temple worship, but there was no way they were going to let any lamb get away. They were guarding their flocks. Does that make sense? You get the picture? Military style, vigilant, undisturbed, uninterrupted, focused guarding. Well, what happens? An angel shows up, and he gives this pretty fantastic, terrifying yet fantastic message. And he says, you know what? This message is for you, shepherds. First, verse 10 reads like this. But the angel reassured them, don't be afraid. He said, I will bring you good news. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all the people. So what was that good news? Verse 11. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. In some of your translations, it'll say the Savior, yes, the Christ, the Lord. Christ is the Greek word. Messiah is the Hebrew word. So I'm sticking with that. Savior, Messiah, and Lord. That was the message. These shepherds who had been waiting, they had heard the stories, they had heard the prophecies, they had studied what their hero, King David, the shepherd king, had talked about, that one day from his line, there would be a Messiah that would come. And the angel said, oh, by the way, in the city of David, Savior, Messiah, Lord. And after the shepherds picked their jaws up off the Galilean dirt, what did they do? Verse 15 and 16. When the angel had returned to heaven, which would have been terrifying enough as is, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried to the village. This was a group of men that were vigilantly, militaristically watching the sheep. And an angel shows up and says, hey, this happened. And what the shepherds say? Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. I was talking with Tommy and Laura earlier, and we read this passage, and he said, that's what I saw. Them going, them hurrying, them, let's get there fast. One of my own personal pet peeves is to be hurried. I don't like being rushed, all right? But in looking at this Greek word, oh, I like this Greek word. Because it means more than just being rushed. It means more than just running. It means to urge somebody on. It means to hasten them. So picture it, this group of shepherds, all of a sudden 20, 30, 40 of them, this angel shows up, and then this massive angel shows up, and they get together after, when they could talk, it's like, let's go all of them. And they start running, right? And there's bound to be some that are looking back like, are the sheep still there? And those that are in the front are calling back saying, no, don't look back, just come on, right? As a freshman, I played football at Carroll College, and at the end of every practice, the entire team had to run up the hill by the practice field. And it was great, because if we got there and back in a set amount of time, we only had to run once. The deal was we had to do it as a team. So the 170-pound receivers and running backs that were fast had to make sure they got back up the hill and back at the same time as the 300-pound masses of muscle. So you know what those 170-pound like receivers and running backs and defensive backs did? They hastened. They urged on. They hurried in the truest sense of this Greek word. So that everybody get back on time. This is what the shepherds were doing. So much for guard duty, right? They hurried. Verse 16 says this. They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger, just like the angels had said. And what happens next? Verse 17 says this. After seeing him, the angels told everyone what had happened. And what the angel had said about this child. They told everyone what the angels had said and what had happened. Now, we're going to talk about the angels next week, but I thought, well, what did they say? What were they telling everybody? Well, what the angels told them. What did the angels tell them? Remember? Savior, Messiah, Lord, he's here. He's here tonight. He's finally arrived. Go! You know, we have that phrase, oh, if I could be a fly on the wall to listen to a conversation. There was no walls in the field. So if we could be a fly on the back of one of the shepherds, which is probably pretty accurate, how would the dialogue have been? Right? Angels come, give this message. Shepherds are like, let's go, let's go, let's go. And they run to Bethlehem, right? They knock on the door and it's like, excuse me, ma'am? Is that the baby? Savior? Messiah? Lord? Is that him? You know, and I picture the camera zooming back and seeing these, for a moment, speechless faces of 20, 30, 40 shepherds in awe of what they're seeing. And then I picture Mary saying, excuse me, fellas? What did you call my baby? Savior, Messiah, Lord, can we tell you what happened? Verse 17, it says, after seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel of the Lord had said about this child. I had an aha moment this past week. It's a confession of sorts. I'm not going to tell you all. Donnie, can I tell you? All right, I'm going to talk to you, because if everybody else hears this, they're going to question how I like graduated seminary. And they're going to think he's not fit to be our pastor, okay? I've heard this story. I probably read it hundreds of times growing up from when I was your age all the way to where I am now. And every single time that I read this story, I pictured verse 17 when, you know, the shepherds kind of peeking in, like seeing baby Jesus and being so super excited. They turn around, they start running through the streets of Bethlehem, knocking on doors, right? They're telling everybody. That's what the text said, right? This is what I've always, even up to this week, pictured. And then this week, I'm trying to think through, okay, well, Mrs. Mary's account of the stories, and how would Mary have known what they were telling everybody as they were knocking on the doors, right? Because Mary wouldn't have gone out. She just gave birth. She would have been tired. Okay? So how would she have known? Well, then came this aha moment. This is the confession, okay? The first people the shepherds would have told? Mary and Joseph. Mind blown. Seriously, I've never thought of that. I kid you not. We'll see if I still have a job next week. Okay? But that was crazy for me. I always pictured them turning around, running through the streets, right, getting up on soapboxes. Hey, you got to hear what happened. And yet probably the first people that they told were Mary and Joseph. And that's how Mary remembered this. You know what those shepherds were? They were the first evangelists. They were the first evangelists taking the message of Savior, Messiah, and Lord to anyone who were listening. You know what was taking place? They were no longer on guard duty. They were leading the glorious charge. They were leading the charge. And what is this charge? They'd left the old form of worship. The sacrificial lambs that twice a day took place in the temple, and they went searching for this new way, this new form of worship. I love what the author of The Manger King, this little devotional, writes. He said, these shepherds were living out the story that the grown-up Jesus would later tell about leaving the 99 to go find the one. These shepherds left the 19,999 to go find the one who would be called the sacrificial lamb who takes away the sins of the world. They were leading the charge from, no, you can't participate in worship, to, hey, guys, we found a new thing, a new way. And it's exactly as the angels said it would be.
This was the glorious charge. This was the glorious charge. And we get to verse 20. It says this. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, because it was just as the angel had told them. Shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. I wonder how many people from that day on, they got to tell the story of what they experienced. How many people did they encounter as, you know, they would walk their two sheep from the hills outside of Bethlehem to the temple for worship? How many times did they tell the temple priests, hey guys, you know you're doing it this way, let me tell you about what happened to me. There's a new way. How many lives did they affect as they led this glorious charge? We don't know the answer to that because we don't see the shepherds again, to my knowledge, in this story. And yet Mary remembered them because she saw something deeper. Going from the old way to the new way. Going from guarding the old things to leading the charge for the new things. I believe that's what Mary remembered when she thought of the shepherds. And ultimately, deep down inside each one of us, I think we want that too. I think each one of us wants to be a modern day shepherd. You know, to some degree, going and telling as many people as possible about the story of Jesus and having them hear it in awe and wonder and amazement, right? We want that. Pray for that. Please pray for that. And then take the opportunity when God gives it to you to share this story. All right, that's one part of the shepherd's story that we can grab onto, but I think there's something more. See, I wonder if there's parts of us, I know it's true for me, I wonder if there's parts of us that are still guarding some of the old way. That are still guarding some of our old understandings of faith. That are still guarding parts of our heart. You know, we ask Jesus to come into our heart and to live in us, but I wonder if there's parts of it that we haven't given Jesus access to. And we're guarding it from him. Or maybe we're guarding some of our own questions and fears from other people. You know, like, why do I keep having doubts? Why do I keep struggling with the same sin over and over and over? Why do I keep failing? Why do I have this persistent issue? You know, in the church at large, I would say we haven't done a good job of giving people the freedom to wrestle, the freedom to ask the hard questions. So you know what happens when they don't have the freedom to do that? They say to themselves, you know what, I'm just not going to ask these. I'm going to guard that part of me, and hopefully someday this works out. And yet, instead, what we end up doing without asking these questions, without having a safe place to wrestle, we end up guarding the way of sin management and not running as fast as we can to the freedom we can find in Christ. We end up guarding the old ways of give more, serve more, make sure you look polished and all put together, when in reality, that's a weight that we shouldn't have to carry. We end up guarding the Old Testament rules and regulations because you know we can if we have a law, we can know whether or not we broke it or not. And yet we're not living in the freedom of Christ. The story that we read tells us a new way that the shepherds found, that the shepherds saw, that the shepherds told everybody about. This group of unclean, dirty, unsuspecting, unexpected men got to be the ones, the first ones taking this message, leading the glorious charge. You want to experience what they did? Do you want to have some of those same feelings, some of those same emotions? Do you want to be able to let go of whatever it is you're guarding and run full steam ahead to Christ? Hey, the Advent story, the story that we hear every year, this gives us the freedom to do that. And I want to give you the freedom to do that this morning. I want you to be able to say, I've guarded this part of my heart, but I want Jesus to have access. I want to run towards him, because ultimately that is the only way you're going to be able to get past these things that you're guarding, is by running towards Christ. Letting this Messiah, this Savior, this Lord that we read about take full control. And then let's walk this journey together. Be willing to say to somebody, hey, I got questions. I got doubts. Can I just tell them to you? Hey, this is hard. This stinks. Can you walk with me through this? Seriously, a virgin birth? I mean, can we walk together through this? Hey, friends, there's a part of this that I've been doing that I've never admitted to anybody, but I want to let it go because then I can live in the freedom of Christ. I want to give you guys the freedom to do that today. I want us to have this opportunity, not just now from 9:30 to 11 on a Sunday morning, but all the time, to move from guard duty to the glorious charge. Will you join me in this adventure this Advent season? You want to come along? I'm coming. Let's pray. Father, I know that a story that we've heard countless times is one that we can easily tune out, one that we can gloss over the details, one that we can think, I know that story, I've heard that story. And yet there are times when the story comes alive even more than it has in the past. No matter how many hundreds of times we've heard the story. Lord, this morning I want to be a modern day shepherd. I want to be one who goes and proclaims and tells the story of Savior, Messiah, and Lord to whoever will listen, whoever is around me. And I want to do more than that, Lord. I want to take the parts in my life that I've guarded, that I've said, Jesus, you're in my heart, but I don't want you to have access to that yet. I want to be able to have freedom from that, Lord. So this morning I pray that if there are people in here that are feeling the same way, that need to let down their guard, I pray, Lord, that you would encourage them to do so. I pray, Lord, that they would recognize that they don't have to work so hard anymore. All they have to do is run towards Jesus. And would you give them the courage to do that? Lord, would you help us as a church be a church that is willing to wrestle, to engage with the hard questions that we so often don't ask because we want to guard against it? Lord, may we be a people just like the shepherds who are unclean, unexpected, unsuspecting, dirty people who have been washed by the blood of the Lamb, who can proclaim this message, who can take part of this glorious charge with the shepherds of 2,000 years ago, and may we become modern-day shepherds. Lord, help us to do that. Give us the wisdom and insight to know how. Weigh heavy on us, Lord, if this is what you want us to do. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.